with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's midsummer, man. If you're not out in the grilling mode right now, you're not a grilling guy at all. So we're going through a little bit of the tougher things to grill on the out in the backyard. And I don't mean tough by the cut of meat. I mean tough by skill-wise, because put a shout out there on our Facebook page, the Grilling Guys, this week, and got some great responses from people. So we're kind of going down the line and trying to address those. Coming up this segment is we're going to talk about fatty meats, because sometimes we have a little problem with those. And Barbecue Bob, what you thinking, man?
Well, first of all, thanks for joining us again. Thanks for coming back and hanging out with us on the weekend. You can check us out on Facebook. Jop put that post out there for a little help with the show plan, and everybody chimed in on it. And if you're not following us on Facebook, it's The Grilling Guys. Go ahead and give us a follow. I'm on Twitter at Grilling Guy, and it's just a good place to get some pictures out and stay in touch with you all. But in terms of cheap meats, gosh, I think pork steak is a good solution for that. Again, if your butcher will cut it for you custom, you can get it cut a little thicker, because a lot of times the supermarket cuts are very, very thin.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're going to find is that it's a little tough. So if you're willing to grill it and then put it into something and let it indirect for an hour to tenderize, that would be fine.
What do you mean into something? What do you mean by that?
Again, some sort of aluminum pan, a cake pan, something that you can hydrate and cover and put on your grill or in the oven, or some sort of warming device that'll finish cooking it, because it's got some connective tissue and fat you're going to want to get to dissolve to make it a presentable piece of meat. But I'm telling you, if you take a pork steak and get it cut thick, you spice
thick,
it.
Thick, you mean by like an inch?
Inch and a half, yeah. You get it, you smoke it for about 2 or 3 hours and serve that to somebody, and they'll think it's about the best piece of pork you've ever served.
Okay, so we just switched horses. We were grilling on the beginning there,
yep.
And you were going to grill it to just get some color on it,
well,
and then put it in a pan and cover it?
I don't know if we're grilling or smoking, because that person that asked the question,
let's make a recommendation.
I don't know if they, you know, what they're putting it on, but the smoking is the easy way, right?
With
a dense meat. So I'm saying most people just have a grill.
Right.
They just have a cheap gas grill. They're going to grill it up. What do you do with it then? Well, it's going to be a tough piece of meat. You have to throw it into some sort of a pan, hydrate it, cover it, and then finish roasting it for an hour and a half.
You're going to put beer on it, wine,
no,
broth?
What
are you thinking?
Chicken broth.
Chicken broth on pork, mm-hmm. All right? Pretty much a universal hydration liquid.
Or beef broth.
Right. Either one
of them. Or vegetable broth.
Now, do you want it swimming in it, or you want just a little bit of it in there?
I just want enough in there to hydrate the meat.
Okay, because you're going to cover it tight with foil over the pan.
I'm going to foil it.
Yep, and put it in there and kind of steam it almost is what you're doing,
because
you're on indirect heat, right?
You're finished. You're bringing the temperature of the meat up, and you're reducing the muscle and the connective tissue. You want it. Whenever you have a cheap piece of meat, it's because it's not a beautiful steak or ham area, and it's just, you know, an undesirable, which means there's going to be lots of little muscles going through there. And when you look at a cross section of it, it's kind of complex, and you've really got three different types of meats in there. It's not real attractive, but if you cook it right, it's really tasty, because there is all that fat in there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can reduce that fat down, get to the flavorful meat, you'll be pretty happy.
Right.
Smoker is always the easiest way, though.
Right. And if you have a smoker, you're going to set that up. A smoker is obviously indirect heat. Is for those of you that don't have smokers, you can make your grill into a quasi-smoker.
Weber kettle.
If you've got burners on one side or the other, or if you're using charcoal, put your charcoal on one side and your meat on the other. Because what we're trying to do is get that convective heat on the meat, get the hot air circulating around it to cook it, rather than the flames underneath it that are cooking it.
So what were the other tough things that people are struggling with?
Well, they were asking about brisket. I think we covered that already. And they were asking about ribs, pork ribs specifically, in that they're wondering how to know when they're done. It's like one of the comments was, I think they taste pretty good, but they're not falling off the bone.
And, okay, so
and I know you
got to
figure on that.
Here's what you do. Typically, people like to grill the whole rack or they'll cut it in half.
Right.
And let's talk St. Louis ribs.
Okay.
Because they're cheaper. So if you've got a whole rack of St. Louis ribs, it's, what, 18 inches long?
Right.
17 inches. So depending on how you've gotten it to this point, but you think it's just about done, you want to know if it's done, take your tongs or put your silicone mitts on and pick up the end of those ribs and hold them out like a plank. And it'll start to bow. And if it starts to bow, but the meat's not pulling away from the bone or breaking a little bit, it's not done. If you lift it up like that and it's the meat is starting to want to pull away from the ribs, it's done.
Right.
You're over.
And if you do that and they break in half, they're probably overdone. Right?
Or perfect. Just pull them off immediately and sauce them and set them to the side.
Right.
If you like sauce.
So with the ribs, I know we've covered this lots of times, but as long as we're on it, prepping the ribs is a big part of what you're doing to cook them, and that is you got to get that membrane off the back. We've talked about how to do that with the paper towel, stick a butter knife under it, peel it off there, comes off in a sheet. But that's a big tip right there on ribs because you get now you get seasoning on both sides, but you also get that chewy membrane off of the meat, so when it is ready
and
to go.
And there are guys that leave it on.
Yeah, not
and
this
so,
guy.
So I think, again, if they're struggling with the rib, maybe they're doing the same thing you did with the beef ribs, and they're trying to check a temperature or they're using some kind of indicator that says, okay, here's about where I need to be. When do I tent? When do I pull? So I'm saying just do them a bunch of times. Keep working on it. And find that feel, find that spot where you can lift those ribs up and you can look at the grain of meat going across it because the ribs will run one way and the meat grain will be going on a 45 and they'll want to separate. When it's done enough that it'll want to separate, you're ready to sauce them and finish them.
Okay.
But they'll have been wrapped for an hour already by the time they get to that point. So if you're not wrapping your ribs, When you have a half inch of bone sticking out on a pork rib, take some foil and tent it up. Make yourself a nice little cocoon for each set of ribs. Throw them back into direct heat, but put them back on and tent them. And a little bit of hydration, just a little touch, whether it's sauce or watered down sauce or broth or whatever you want to use, beer.
Mm-hmm.
Some beers are good for that. I'm thinking a Jawjacker. Great for cooking, not so good for drinking.
Yeah, it's an opinion.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do a ribeye. Let's go on the other end. The pendulum swings to one of the best cuts of meat, in my opinion, that you can put on a grill. But there are some intricacies that you have to be aware of when you're grilling that. Now, a ribeye is a prime choice or select. Doesn't matter. Ribeyes are all marbled. As you go up that scale, they're more marbled. But that marbling is fat in the meat, and that adds flavor. So the more you have in there, generally the better the product's going to be when you're finishing it. But the more fat in there also can create some problems with grilling. Let's talk about that a minute.
That's right, and that's the flare-ups. So depending on how big your grill is and how many people you have to make them for, spread them out a little bit. But here's what I did last night. I did some ribeyes, and I trimmed them up real nicely. And trimming a lot of that outside fat off them as much as possible won't hurt a thing. It'll make it much more easy for your guests to eat it and cut it. And it'll save you a little fat going into your grill to catch fire. But you have to space them out and spread them out. And I would definitely tell you to trim them. And I'm still going to do them at a high heat.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I know I'm going to get a flare. But so get a little spray bottle with a little water in it and just hit it. If you know you're going to have something flaring, just get a little spray bottle.
Hitting the flame, not the meat.
I'm hitting the flame.
Right. We don't want to water the meat down and wash the seasoning away. We want to cut the flame down where the grease is hitting the burners or your coals or whatever it may be.
Get a squirt gun, throw some vodka in it.
There you go. Yeah, and then get a squirt bottle for the grill. But anyway, coming up next, we're going to chase a yard bird around, slow one down, and get him out. Stick with us. We'll be back.
And it makes me want to take a back road. Makes me want to take the long way home. Put a little gravel in my travel. Unwind, unwrap.